Good morning, church. It's good to have you all here with us today as we've been going through a series this month entitled Gifts from God. The first week we looked at good gifts. Excuse me. Last week we looked at free gifts. And this week we're going to look at giving gifts. It seems like, I don't know, I've had fruitcake once in my life, and that was enough. So I like to pick on fruitcake. So if you like fruitcake, sorry about that. So I did find this week, and I thought, it might be true. The worst gift in the world is fruitcake, because there's actually only one fruitcake in the entire world, and people just keep sending it around to each other. It's always consoling to know that today or this week's Christmas presents will be future garage sale items. So you got that to look forward to. We have heard it said in Scripture by our Lord himself that it is more blessed to give than to receive, especially kittens. Right? Anyway, so the whole idea of giving gifts, we understand that. So this morning we're gonna take a look at giving in the Bible. I know right away once we start mentioning the word giving, what crosses everyone's mind, and I'm gonna try to not use that word that nobody wants to hear when it talks about giving. Okay, so I'm not going to mention it. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 16. George, it's money if you don't know, okay? So you made me use it. George is like, I don't even know what he's talking about. Because when it comes to the church and giving, it's so much deeper than that. I'm not going to say that's not involved in it, but it's so much deeper than that. 1 Corinthians 16, 1 through 3 says, now concerning the collection for the saints, as I directed the churches of Galatia, so do you also. On the first day of every week, each one of you is to put aside and save as he may prosper, so that no collections be made when I come. When I arrive, whomever you may approve, I will send them with letters to carry your gift to Jerusalem. So as we look here into this passage of Scripture, I found it in one of the commentaries that the use of the article here shows that what Paul is talking about here is something that he had mentioned before to them. Wasn't like he was just bringing this up. It's at the end of the letter. That'd be a good place to put it. So that I just kind of slip it in at the end. This is that it's actually been talked to them before, and that it was a subject that they would readily understand. It wasn't something that was foreign to them, but this whole idea of what we had just read was something that the people understood. It was not a new concept. It was needful only to give some instructions in regard to the manner in which this should be done, and not in regard to the occasion for the collection or the duty of making it. Accordingly, all his instructions relate simply to the manner in which the collection should be made. It's interesting that if you get your Greek lexicon out or you follow along with your Strong's Concordance or something of that nature, that the word rendered collection here is the Greek word logiai. As we look at that, it does not appear anywhere else in Scripture, and it's even though it's a Greek word, it appears nowhere else in even the classic writings throughout history. So this is the only time really that we see this one word here used. However, it comes from a word that at least from the Greek point of view might look a little more familiar to us, and that word is lego. L-E-G-O, which means a collection of being brought together to connect. And those of you that, or even myself back in the day, had the Legos and played with those, we know that those are connect. They're to bring things together. And that was the whole reason for the collection. Undoubtedly here is referring to in this text that the contribution and collection that is brought up is going to be used for a charitable purpose, but it says who is the ones that it's expected to be giving of this, and those are, in the Greek, hagios, or the saints, or as we'd say, the Christians. Nowhere do we see in Scripture ever that the church expects for the outside world to support the work of the inside church. As a matter of fact, it's almost just the opposite. We should be doing our part to help the world. And that's exactly what we see here. But we also know that in this time frame, if we remember roughly, I think it was like Acts 12 when Agabus gives his prophecy of the coming famine that's going to be coming to Jerusalem, that at the early stages of Christianity, they had all things in common. Everybody was giving. They were, you know, helping everybody out as they had need. But we see that something happened there in the church at Jerusalem. And we would say, well, they're not being very smart in how they handled things. Or are we saying they're being very spiritual in how they handled things? So imagine when things were good, when Christianity started in Acts chapter 2 and 3 and 4 and 5 and 6, and we see all of those people. Remember, we got the whole Barnabas deal with the deacons and Barnabas giving land, and then Ananias and Sapphira. And so there's obviously collections being made and given in Jerusalem at that time. Now, some may say, well, see, they should have kept back some of their stuff so that they had it when their famine came later. Or is it that they as Christians, as we should too, that we live as if there's no tomorrow? And if there is, you know who's going to take care of it? The Lord. And so we do see this. This is kind of the basis for a lot of the giving that we see throughout the New Testament is the hardship that the church at Jerusalem, who at first, where the gospel came from to go out, they struggle. But then Paul talks, I mean, we've got those in Galatia, we got those in Macedonia, we see it all throughout Scripture, and we're going to reference some of those here in a little bit. But at the same time, so isn't it great, as Paul talks about as well, that if these people are indebted to us spiritually, in other words, they became Christians because the missionaries that went out or those that left Jerusalem and Judea, remember the Lord said, don't stay here, and all the people stayed there, right? People just like to do the opposite of what God says, right? Remember in the Tower of Babel? Please leave, go. So they all stayed together. Right? So God had to mess up their language, so then they couldn't talk, so then they had to go. The people in Jerusalem, God says, now you need to go. You need to get out of here. And they don't. So then what happens? Persecution comes upon the church. And when you're being chased down to possibly be thrown in jail or killed, you have the ability or the desire to move a little quicker. And so that's exactly what they did. And so as we look at this, that's just kind of laying a little bit of the groundwork for what we're going to be sharing here this morning. But there's three things that I want to look at this morning. And the first one I just want to lay out for us to understand is the core to giving. In other words, the focus, the general center point of giving, the core to giving. Um, From the beginning of creation, God has gave to us. And really, as one of the radio guys today said, he's better to us than we deserve. And so as we see that, but the core to giving, I mean, even from the wonderful garden they were given to tend, and then they mess that up. So then God gives them, you know, they try and think that they're sufficient in covering up their nakedness, and God gives them something better. And God is always through the scripture. Remember when Abraham and Isaac climbing the mountain, and Isaac's like, "Hey, Dad, where's the sacrifice?" And the Lord, and Abraham says, "The Lord will provide." God again gives them what they need. All throughout Scripture, we see that over and over again. Until as John the Baptist is there immersing in the Jordan River, and they see the Lamb of God and come in Jesus Christ, he says, "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away." God has always given us what we needed, and usually more. We are blessed. Amen? And so as we look at that, and I know I use this, it seems like once a month or whatever, but just simply the simple fact of being an American, you are in the 3% richest people in the world. That is just astounding to me. Just mind-blowing. And it's because the Lord has blessed us. I'm not saying that's going to continue, but for now, the Lord has definitely blessed us. But I believe the core, our basic thought, or the beginning step of giving is that God gave to us. He gave His Son that we might live eternally. John 3:16 used to be the number one quoted Bible verse. There is instead now Matthew 7:1 is, "Judge not lest you be judged." Does that tell you what the church is thinking about or the world? Anyway, I like it better, John 3:16, if we could, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." And as we stop and we consider this idea of giving gifts, we've looked at good gifts, we've looked at free gifts. There is no better gift that we can be, that we can have given to us than eternal life through Jesus Christ. And what makes it precious is since it came through Jesus Christ, that shows us how much the Father loves us. And then not only as Jesus Christ ascended back into heaven, but then as we became Christians, he left his gift of the Holy Spirit upon us. And we'll finish out the month looking at that one. But this core idea of giving, so can we name something? This is where if you want to respond to my question, you're more than welcome to at this time. If you just want to think to it within yourself, that's great. But can we name something that we have that the Lord did not permit us to have? So then, if we've got something that the Lord doesn't permit for us to have, then why do we have it? Consider that. You know, he's given us all that we need, as we've mentioned before, and beyond. And so I just want for us to recognize that as we talk about us giving, and we mentioned that as Jesus Christ had even said, it's more blessed to give than to receive, and we're gonna look at that. I want for us to understand that, and we there's a song we sang, you know, I love him because he first loved me. Well, you know what? We give because he's first given us everything. He's first given us everything. And so in that, I think it's a good idea for us all is to consider our next point is that is on preparing to give. Preparing to give. That's what we see in that 1 Corinthians text. He's reminding them, hey, there ought to be a collection that's taken up every week, and so that the church And the scripture's saying something there, right? So the collections need to be brought up. And now, and so many times, sometimes in the church, we say, well, I want to give this and I want to give that and I want to give it here and I want to give it there. And it's not necessarily wrong to be giving, but all of the scripture thing, the ideas that we see in the scripture was the money was brought to the church and the church distributed that out. Because if we start thinking that our giving isn't an important thing to the church, I think we've messed up somewhere. And so they said, well, they don't need to know. Why don't they need to know? As a matter of fact, by you doing that, they can tell, are you giving or not? Because if you don't give to the church and you give to somewhere else directly, then they'll say, well, maybe they're not giving. Well, then the other person that's giving somewhere else says, well, it's none of their business. No, it's exactly their business. It's exactly the leader's business on if you, and so, you know, so many times I think that we say, well, this idea of giving is just between me and God. No, it's just like communion, I see. Communion is not just between me and God. Therefore, we do communion together. If I leave you guys out of my communion thoughts, I think I'm in error. However, if I only have you in my thoughts and I forget God out of my communion thoughts, then I think I'm in error. And so, see, we can't take away one from the other. And so we'll say it's none of their business. Well, then I would suggest that maybe you reevaluate what God's business is. And how that works. Because sometimes we just don't want other people to know. And you know what? That's a shame. Because unless you've got something to be ashamed of, why not? Again, we're not doing it for our glory. We're doing it for His, right? All right. So, preparing to give. Giving does not always come naturally, does it? No, sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it's difficult. Sometimes we have to learn that. I think as we look at Philippians 2, we look at Hebrews chapter 5, we look at some of those passages where Jesus had to learn. Now, that doesn't mean he didn't know, but that means he put that into practice. Do we put that into practice? Romans 15, 25 through 26 says, but now I am going to Jerusalem serving the saints for Macedonia and Achaia. That was another congregation, city that had been given. Have been pleased to make a contribution for the poor among the saints in Jerusalem. Now, this was those in Macedonia, the church in Achaia, have been pleased. In other words, it didn't say they will be pleased. This is something that they've already done, and they have been pleased in doing it. Second Corinthians 8, 1 and 2. Now, brethren, we wish to make known to you the grace of God, which has been given in the churches of Macedonia, that in a great ordeal of affliction, their abundance of joy and their deep poverty overflowed in the wealth of their liberality. Christians, listen up right here, right now. If you ever get the itch to be liberal, here is the only thing in the scripture that we're told we can be liberal at, and that's at giving of our finances. Right? Now do you want to be liberal? All of a sudden we're left-wingers then, aren't we? Or right-wingers, right? Oh, I'm not liberal now, right? When it comes to, you know what? Giving may change the way that you live. Giving may change the way that you live. I know I was at a concert several years ago, and they were talking about sponsoring kids, kind of like they did for the Hippo Valley thing, like we did for uniforms for them. And the guy that was up there talking was like, you know, it really in our life is so many ways that we could, that we are so frivolous with money that we don't even think about, you know, we've got at least 120 channels on our TV that we don't listen or watch. We mainly it's like four or five of them, and then when we only had four or five, we complained that we only had four or five. But anyway, and he says, you know, it's even through, so you could change your television package to have 100 channels instead of 120 and save $5 a month, you know, or just not, you know, go to the Green Lady once a week like you do every day, and spend outrageous money, on coffee and different things of that nature. The thing I thought he thought was funny, he says, you know, he goes, I can give up the extra channels in our sport package. He goes, you know, because it's like ESPN and stuff like that. He goes, the only one that watches those are my wife. He says it's a little harder to give up the Green Lady with the coffee and things of that nature. But what we're saying is just look at the things that we, not only, you know, and we say, well, I deserve it, right? I deserve a $5 cup of coffee every day, right? And not only that, we will drive way out of our way to go get it, right? But yet we've got a Christian that would like to be picked up for church, and it's like, I just don't know if I can make it, right? That's on your way as you pass by their house and they're standing in the front door. Beep, beep. Derek, see you later. Right? So how do we give? What I'm saying is giving will change the way you live. And the thing is, we are so blessed that you could give to really helping others and not even change your package on your Dish Network and not even change your package of beverages that you decide that you drink every morning. Because if we just give first, we always find out that we have left to do what we want to do. Again, it's not a sin to have the 900 channels. It's not a sin to go for the cup of coffee. But when we use that as an excuse, it's like the Jews in the day saying, you know what? I can't take care of my mom and dad because I've got to give to the church. Corbin, remember? Corbin, that's all that. Don't use it as an excuse. You always have time and money to do what you do first. You'll never miss a church service if you decide you're going to put Jesus first. Oh, we're going to go to church, and then we'll go to the mall. We're going to go to church, then we will go to the ball game. We're going to go to church. You always have time to do what you do first. Same thing with our money. Same thing. Oh, I said it. Same thing with our finances. Same thing with our finances. All right, and so our giving will change our lives. And we don't give for show. 2 Corinthians 8:20 says, taking precautions so that no one will discredit us in the administration to this gift. Now, this can go a couple different ways, right? I guarantee you what is beneficial to the Lord to, for example, a guest speaker that we have in, and to the congregation, is that when they write back and say, you know, thank you and praise God for your insane gift. Okay? Rather than, thank you for the $50 you guys gave. Right? Now, $50 may be an insane gift. Right? But it's time that we quit being crazy like that and being crazy stingy and give something away that's not ours anyway, right? And so the whole fact is, if you give what you can, you'd be surprised what you'll actually give. You know, I feel a little, as I said, Mr. Burton and I were really excited that the kids got as collected as much as they did for the Hippo Valley mission. However, I was a little disappointed in myself that, well, maybe I should have thought we'd do more. Because we obviously easily met the goal that I had set in mind. But maybe we should have set, you know, the goal that God had in mind. And we're going to continue to look at that and see how we develop that. But there's a preparation that needs to come. Okay? Don't be moved by your giving by, you know, they have Colton Bierbauer passing the offering plates. And he's big and intimidating. And like, you know, he passes the offering plate and it comes by you. And then he turns around and hands it back down that same aisle and said, I think we can do a little better. Right? And so as we look at that, I'm not saying you're wrong if you do that. No, I'm just saying, and you know, so as we do that, it shouldn't be moved by compulsion either. We should predetermine, hey, I'm going to give this much. The Lord has blessed me with this. And we can go back and look at the tithe. And we can talk about how grace should be worth at least another percent. And there's all kinds of things that we can talk about. But the whole idea, the basis is having the giving of the gifts. Don't do it for show. Either way. It's none of their business. Or I want to really impress them. Either way, it's wrong. Why is that? Because I believe that our giving, if when we prepare the way the Lord says for us to prepare, our giving can excite and encourage others to give as well. Right? And so it was really cool every day to see the kids come in there. And I know, we talked about probably most of the little kids that brought their money in, they got from their mom and dad. Right? But when I also hear the seniors, some of the seniors talking about, you know, I've got change in my cup holder in my car that I'm going to bring in. They probably didn't get that from mom and dad. They probably got that from their leftover gas money or tips from their job or whatever. And so to even hear them talk about that hey, I can put that in there and I'm going to try. Now, they obviously didn't put enough in to get a pizza party on Tuesday, as the little ones did. But they didn't do it for the pizza party. They did it because they wanted to try to help out these kids in Africa that get a Christmas meal and an outfit for the year. And then when they would see, hey, we already made this amount, well, let's try to get three more. Let's try to get five more. And they did it not pressuring, but you know, hey, you know, I've got this or I've got that somewhere put back. We've always got a little more hidden away than we think we do. 2 Corinthians 9:1 and 2 says it is superfluous for me to write. In other words, you know, I really shouldn't have to write. I don't have to write about this. This is a great thing already. For me to write to you about this ministry to the saints, for I know your readiness, of which I boast of you to the Macedonians, namely that Achaia has been prepared since last year. That means they're already planning on giving to something they don't even know what yet. They've been prepared since last year, and your zeal has stirred up most of them. Because somebody else gives, it excites other people to give. It encourages other people to give. You know what? If they're doing that, I should be able to do something. But then here's the base. Remember what the core was? God's giving. And then he prepares us for giving. And the last thing I want for us to think about is what I think is the most important part of that. I mean, outside of God has obviously set the tone. But we see it in scriptures again over and over. And it's not just talking about finances. It's talking about our minds. It's talking about our hearts. It's talking about our actions. It's talking about everything. Is first we give ourselves to the Lord. First we give ourselves to the Lord. If you are a non-Christian and you write a check for $1 million, praise Jesus for it. It's not going to get you to heaven. Right? If you're a Christian and you write a check for $1 million, Is that going to get you to heaven? No. But we give, why? Because first of all, we realize that God gave to us. And we're going to prepare to give back to that. And so as we look at this, giving of ourselves. 2 Corinthians 8, 3 and 5. For I testify that according to their ability and beyond their ability, they gave of their own accord. In other words, they sought it out amongst each other. What can we give? What can I do? Begging us with much urging for the favor of participation in the support of the saints. And this, not as we expected, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and then to us by the will of God. And again, it doesn't matter how much we put in that offering box to go to a mission or to a revival preacher, if we have not first given ourselves to the Lord. You may be in here being convicted by that sermon, and you walk out having no closer of a relationship to Jesus Christ than when you began, and you put $1,000 in that box, it doesn't matter or amount to a hill of beans. Because it hasn't changed your spiritual life. Now you first give yourself to the Lord, you allow that conviction to work in your life, you decide that you're going to put all else behind us, you count the cost on becoming a Christian, now we've got something. And you say, you know, I think I can put $10 in there. And that's a far greater gift to someone that sacrifices and puts that in, honestly, than the one that can write the $1,000 check and not miss it. That's why you got the whole lesson of the widow with the two mites, and with as little as she put in, Jesus says, and she put in more than anybody else. You know, and you could, especially if you've watched The Chosen, I could just imagine Matthew be like, no, Lord, these guys here that put the most in, you know, they put in way more than, no, because they still had something left in their pocket. She gave herself, and that lended to her giving all that she had, financially speaking. This passage is a reminder that no matter what you give or how you give or how much you give, it's really to no avail unless you first give your heart and your life and all your being to Jesus. Giving is much like forgiveness. Remember, we sometimes, many times say, as we talk with someone, maybe, you know, that forgiveness is more for you than it is for the other person. Well, so is giving. Giving is more for you than it is for the other person. Philippians 4, 16 and 17. For even in Thessalonica, you sent a gift more than once for my needs. Not that I seek the gift itself, but I seek the profit which increases to your account. In other words, I am grateful for what you've done to support me on my mission work, Paul says. But boy, the far better thing is the joy and the understanding it's brought to your life. Learning to give and give unselfishly actually helps promote and even sustain godly, Christ-like living, not just godly, Christ-like giving, but living. 2 Corinthians 9:5. So I thought it necessary to urge the brethren that they would go on ahead to you and arrange before your previously promised bountiful gift, so that the same would be ready as a bountiful gift and not affected by covetousness. Our giving is to be pure. Our giving is to be from the heart. Our giving is to be selfless. If we give for some sort of self-glory or self-praise, or even to be recognized by others, it then becomes of the covetous sort. When we look to bring attention to us, we have failed to bring people to Jesus. We all have been given something special. Amen? Whatever that may be. 1 Peter 4:10 says, as each one of you has received a special gift, there's all something, we've all got something special. And I'm not necessarily talking about finances again. But we have got, some of you out there are so great at encouragement. that I look forward to your kind words. There's some that I've been praying for you. You know what? I know. Thank you. And everybody has a special different gift. And if you don't know what that is, then go searching for it. Look for it. You know what? I can't do this, but boy, I can do this. There you go. As each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another. If you got that gift and you take it and you bury it, the Lord will look at you and say, you wicked and lazy slave. Another one is good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Not only is it about finances, it's about the free gift of salvation that has been given to us. We are to use this gift to serve one another. What good is it if you have all the money in the world and leave it in a savings account? The same as if, what good is it if you've got the message of salvation and tell no one about it? Both those are sins, to not share what you have. You have a gift, employ it to serve one another. We are all to be good stewards. We are all to be good caregivers. This is how we exemplify the grace of God, not just to one another, but to all. A young man was given a trip to Europe for a senior graduation party or gift by his aunt that lives over in Europe. And so he'd spent all summer living it up, going to all the sites and the beaches and doing all sorts of wonderful and exciting things. And on the last day of his trip, he was supposed to meet up with the aunt who paid for everything. And he's like, Mom had been telling me all summer, make sure you bring Aunt so-and-so a good gift, a nice gift. She paid for your whole trip. Okay, so he's like down the last day. He reaches in his pocket. He's got a dollar and some change left. Spent it all. He's going to see his aunt, and he's like, oh, I don't know. So he's walking along, sees this beautiful store with beautiful items in the window, and as such, luck would have it, a beautiful girl hanging a crystal dove in the window. So he goes into the department store, not necessarily seeking anything else but the beautiful girl. But as he's in there and he's talking to her, they get distracted. She's hanging this crystal dove, and it falls and breaks into three pieces. To which she runs to the back room crying. The boss is mad at her. The boy then thinks to himself, I can make something good come of this. And he goes to the guy, he says, what do you sell me that broken dove for? And he's like, I'll give it to you. It's no good to us anymore. He's like, well, I got a dollar. I'll at least give you a dollar for the packaging. Okay, no problem. So he's walking out, and he's got this crystal dove that's broken into three pieces. And so he's got it all wrapped up in the box, and he's walking to his aunt's house. And he gets there, and as he enters the room, he says, oh, you know, hey, I'm here, everybody. And then he fake trips and drops the box. And he's like, oh, I'm so sorry. He says, I hope it's not broke. And so he gets ready, and she takes the gift, and she opens it up, to which she sees the crystal dove broken in three pieces. But here was the problem. Each one of those pieces were individually wrapped in a piece of tissue. I'm just saying, when we decide to give to the Lord, don't fake it. Let it be from the heart. Don't fake it. There's a plan of salvation that's given that the Lord didn't fake. It's the real deal. It starts with us believing in Jesus and who he is, that he is the Son of God. And we call him the Christ. Are we then willing to repent of our sins that put him on the cross? Confess Jesus Christ as Lord, be immersed into Jesus for the forgiveness of our sins. and then share that faithfully, live faithfully, do our best to share those good gifts that we've been given, to share that free gift that we participated in, and now looking here at that idea of giving good gifts, don't keep it to yourself. Share it with a world that needs it so desperately. Only you can do it. It's time that we step up and live like Jesus. Will you stand as they lead us in our song of invitation?